It is my pleasure to present...
Good morning and welcome to the Carmichael Dave Show, starring Carmichael Dave, Jay Mars, and your phone calls on the Fire Wings hotline at 1-800-920-1140. Text in on the Jiffy Loop text line at 44-1140. Now, strap in and sit down. Here's Carmichael Dave.
No, it's not. Carmichael Dave got the day off today. He's got the wife, he's got the kiddos.
I'm glad he took a day off. You know, he
deserves it.
He really needs
it.
He takes, it's been like maybe a week, or actually it might have been 2 weeks. That's a long time since he's taken some time for him. So I'm happy for
him.
Has
it been that long?
I don't know.
It seems like a long time for him. 2 weeks.
So when do we have to go to Christopher Lott and make sure we get our over-under set on how many tweets he has when he's at Disneyland?
Oh, he's going to be a tweeting machine at Disneyland. Let me tell you why. Because he's going to be miserable at Disneyland the next 3 days. And you know he's going to share it.
Will he do an Ask Me Anything while he's queued up for Guardians of the Galaxy or something?
Will Dave be AMAing this morning on Twitter live from the like 30-hour line it takes just to get into the park?
The most perfect Carmichael Dave vacation fact is him when he takes his cruises buying the data package so he can be on Twitter.
Yes.
That is
the
most
best thing
that
ever.
Is the most Carmichael. They should rename that package the Carmichael Dave package.
I agree.
That should be an endorsement opportunity we should seek. I'll gladly give him 100% of the profits.
Dare I say, with like the intensity that it takes to do a Disneyland trip right now, we actually, despite the fact that we are working today, are going to be doing less work than Dave.
Why?
Because Disneyland sucks right now, and he's going to have to be... And you know Dave, he hates to move, like physically move his body, and he's going to have to do a lot of that. But he's also going to have to be standing on his feet. He doesn't like to do that.
Poor boy has to stand and walk in Disneyland.
Dare I say, there will be more complaints from him than the rest of the patrons of the park combined today.
Uh-huh.
Fact?
Oh, fact.
I got another fact for you.
Uh-huh.
Soundgarden starts right now.
That is a fact.
Soundgarden. Soundgarden. The cuts and clips that are catching our eye today. Soundgarden. It's time to go round the world with Soundgarden.
I really enjoyed my time with him here, so I appreciated the way he handled things and did his business, and I'm pulling for him in the future. I mean, that's how I roll. I mean, people say things, they say things. So I move on and wish him the best, you know.
That's Andy Reid commenting on now his former running back, Le'Veon Bell. If you missed earlier some context to that, Le'Veon Bell took to his Instagram and said he would never play for Andy Reid again. Dare I say the feeling probably mutual.
Good guy, Andy Reid. Always saying the right things, even though we all know when the microphone's not on and he's with people he trusts, he's probably bashing the crap out of Le'Veon Bell, and rightfully so. But look at the position these two guys are in. You talk about sour grapes. Le'Veon Bell is at the very, very, very tail end of his career. He's irrelevant.
Which is crazy because he's not old.
Right, but he's completely irrelevant. And you have Andy Reid, who has not only been a head coach, a successful head coach for a long time. I mean, he won a Super Bowl not too long ago. I mean, you just Andy Reid's killing it in every sense of the word. So Le'Veon Bell's not worth his time.
When you look at Le'Veon Bell, you know, he was such a revelation in Pittsburgh. Had issues there with Mike Tomlin and that organization. Goes to the Jets, has issues there, but I can't really hold that one over his head.
Say,
who doesn't have issues when they go to the Jets?
That's the most excusable Le'Veon Bell's period, I guess.
You go to Kansas City, a Super Bowl winner with a Hall of Fame coach, and you have issues there. Maybe, Le'Veon, it's you.
No.
Yeah.
That can't be right. It has to happen 4 times for that to be true.
Well, speaking of people that are no longer where they used to be, Luka Doncic commenting on his now former general manager, Donnie Nelson.
It was kind of tough to me, you know. I really like Donnie. I know him since I was a kid. And he was the one that drafted me, you know. And it was tough for me to see that. But I'm not the one making decisions there. So this is whatever the office is making.
Wrong, Luca. He didn't draft you. He traded for you. The Hawks drafted you. The Hawks appreciated you first. The Kings didn't.
That's the storyline we're going with today.
Yep.
Luka Doncic It's just so interesting, the power struggle that is going on with that Dallas front office. You have unhappy star player.
Whiny star player.
Whiny, unhappy star. I guess whiny and unhappy kind of go hand to hand, don't they?
No, because you can be happy and still whine.
A shadow GM that is still very much going to be running that front office that he does not like. And then his head coach resigns yesterday, which he had, you know, a not the best relationship with. I forgot whose article was in yesterday, but basically quote saying that at some point last year, Luka turned around and yelled at Rick Carlisle. Who's in charge here, you or gambler Bob?
You would also are very visibly and very animated or show very animated responses to decisions Carlisle would make, like timeouts or things like that. Like, just a bad look. Bad look, bad look. And Carlisle is one of the best coaches in the NBA. He's head of the Coaches Association, is he not?
I think so.
President of the coach. I mean, just it speaks volume. When stuff like this happens with advisors and deciding to make a change of general manager, like, that's one thing. But for a coach of Carlisle's caliber to just walk away, yeah, like, that should send every message that anybody needs to hear.
Do you think Carlisle takes a year off, or do you think he's already looking for
Hell
another
no.
job?
I think he goes to Boston or New Orleans right away.
I feel like Boston, obviously, he won a championship in Boston, would be such a perfect fit for Rick Carlisle, and I think he's kind of a great, not medicine, but I think he would be terrific with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. If they can pull that off, I think that would be the best situation for Rick Carlisle, to land in. Giannis had a big game last night, but does he think his team is built to win in Game 7 versus the Nets?
We've talked about it multiple times in the locker room and among the guys that Sango Bees, you know, we wasn't able to get the job done in Game 5, but this is a new opportunity, you know, and it's going to be a little bit hard. We got to come here, protect our home, and we got to go to Brooklyn and try to get one more, you know, and as I've said all year long, you know, we're built for this moment, simple as that. And nobody says it's going to be easy. Might be hard, but we are capable of doing it, you know. So everybody had a great mindset, and everybody, you know, came to play, came to compete. And that's all I can ask, you know, for my team. And hopefully we can do that in Game 7 and win the game.
Do you think the Bucks are built to beat the Nets in Game 7 on Saturday?
I think they better. I think the Nets
That's
have...
That's not what I asked you. Of course they better.
The Nets have every excuse in the book lined up for them. The Bucks have absolutely none. And they have a two-time MVP who everybody's questioning whether or not he's capable of being that guy on an actual championship team. The Bucks are good enough to win and to move on. Yes, they are good enough to beat the Brooklyn Nets. I believe that. But it's the big question with the Bucks is not are they good enough, it's are they going to play to their capabilities consistently? And I can't answer that question.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting tomorrow because all eyes are on Mike Budenholzer. In that series, that's the guy that if Milwaukee loses, he will be the fall guy, which may or may not be justified. I don't know. But I will say this, if they are losing, and Kevin Durant is having another monster game with P.J. Tucker guarding him, and Budenholzer does not make an in-game adjustment, oh boy, that is all you are going to be hearing about.
But what can Budenholzer do at the same time, though? Like
throw Giannis on him. Try something.
Absolutely, but Budenholzer's a lame duck head coach, and everybody knows it. That's more on Giannis.
No, seriously, Budenholzer's a lame duck head coach if he loses. Budenholzer, and I agree with you because I've said if they don't get to the NBA Finals, he's gone.
Yeah.
I don't think the conference finals keeps Budenholzer's job.
I don't think him making the NBA Finals helps him keep his job
at
this point.
I think making it helps
winning
him.
Winning it.
Winning it, he keeps his job, right? Like, duh. But I do think making the NBA Finals is such a significant leap for that franchise that lost out in the semis the two previous years. It's going to be really interesting. I thought Milwaukee really got something when they annihilated Miami and kind of exercised that demon from last year in the bubble. And then when they came in to start the series and just kind of crap the bed. And then Game 5, the Nets are literally bleeding on the court and you don't smell the blood to attack and get the win. Eesh.
Let me put it this way, Jay. If P.J. Tucker is guarding Kevin Durant again in this Game 7, That is more on Giannis than anybody else. That is 100% on Giannis and nobody
else.
Even
if he has a big game?
Even
he had 34 and 12 in game 5.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Like,
it
you
does.
You are the superstar of a team with high expectations, and you're not guarding and going at, unless, like, if the positions were different, like, we're not talking like Steph Curry, Nikola Jokic.
Yeah, no, they're relatively the same height.
Like, that should be Giannis's assignment all the time, no matter what, especially at the end of a game. And I don't put that on coaching.
So you think it's up to Giannis to pull Budenholzer aside either tomorrow or sometime today, maybe give him a call, shoot him a text like, yo, tomorrow it's me on KD. I don't care.
He already did it publicly. He did it after game 5. He stepped down and said, yeah, I'm taking that assignment on.
But Tucker was still on KD all night.
Which is weird.
Oh, the NBA playoffs. The NBA in general, it's the best. We'll take a break.
Yeah! That was nice.
Coming up next.
Free for Madness, speaking to the NBA with all the head coaching firings. Do you think the Kings are regretting not maybe waiting a little longer to announce whether or not they were retaining Luke Walton? Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady grace the cover. Madden 2022. And it's day 2 in the U.S. Open. Who are we going to talk about? $12.5 million richer come Monday. We'll do all that in Free for Madness next.
1, 2, 3.
It's 3 for Madness time. 3 for Madness. 3 questions, 3 answers.
1, 2, 3. Woo!
It's 3 for Madness. Here's question 1.
Still to come at 8:05. Del Campo High School, Sacramento State, and now San Francisco Giants Sammy Long. Came on yesterday with Jason Ross and Doug Christie. It was a great interview. We'll replay that for you today at 8:05. Lots and lots of NBA talk to get to coming up next. Of course, we had that big, big trade we talked about earlier with the Celtics and Thunder. We'll break that down again here coming up pretty soon. But right now, 3 for Madness, Matthew George, question 1.
It is 3 for Madness time. Number 1, has the sleuth of head coaches being fired in the NBA made you think twice about the Kings' decision to retain Luke Walton immediately after the season?
No. And let me tell you why. I see this all over social media. Every time a name coach gets let go, oh, damn it! If we would have fired Walton, we could have had insert name coach here. Can I ask everybody a question? With all the job openings in the NBA right now, do you really think Sacramento would be at the top of most desirable?
Rick Carlisle left the Mavericks to come for the Kings.
That's not a thing.
It is to me.
The only job on the market that I can for sure say is a job that is not as good as the Kings would be Orlando. Maybe Indiana, but Orlando for sure in a rebuild.
They have Disney World.
They have, well, that's true. That's a good point. We have the Crocker Art Museum, though.
I honestly, truly, if the Kings job was available right now, I think it would be the bottom of the list. And I'm not trying to just be a hater that dunks on my own team. Like, that's the reality.
Like, guys, if Mike Budenholzer gets fired after Saturday, if the Bucks lose, guess what? His first call would not be to Monty McNair.
But what about Becky Hammon?
Becky Hammon? Here's the thing. I would never want Becky Hammon to get hired by the Kings because I want her to go into a job for the first time in a position to succeed.
Right.
I would not want that for her. Becky Hammon is too good of a human being to have to take that job first.
No, you're 100% correct. There's no reason to be upset that the Kings committed to Luke Walton going forward and made this decision before all these announcements were made. I tweeted this out yesterday. It would be a horrible look for the Kings to go back on their word. They're not going to do it. They're not going to do it at all. Circumstances do change like this. And if they were in a situation where almost all these other jobs were filled and then Rick Carlisle stepped down and maybe they wanted to consider doing it, that's a different conversation entirely.
But here's the thing, right? Let's say they decided, you know what? Rick Carlisle's out there. We'd really like to make a stab at Rick Carlisle, right? And you fire Luke Walton. Do you think Rick Carlisle is going to want to come to a franchise that has had a rocky history with head coaches and front offices and players and, oh, by the way, come to a franchise that committed and said head coach Luke Walton is going to lead us back to the playoffs only to let him go? Do you think that makes the Sacramento job more appealing? I would say it makes it to the point where no head coach worth a damn would come here.
And on top of that, you're a still relatively new general manager. This is your first ever job, and you're going to go back on your word this early on in your career without being established. What kind of message does that send to the rest of the league?
That's
what
my
kind
point.
Of message does that send to candidates? What kind of message does that send to your locker room? Like, I know that the Kings and these Kings players haven't done anything to warrant making decisions based off of, of their opinion. They already did that with Jaeger, and it hasn't worked out too well.
Yeah, it worked out really poorly. Actually,
at the same time, though, De'Aaron Fox just signs a Supermax. He vocally comes out in support of Luke Walton. You commit to Luke Walton, and then you go back on your word. Like, is this not DeMarcus Cousins all over again with what Vlade and the Kings did to him?
No,
like, it looks terrible.
It's called learn from your past mistakes, and I will say this, and I've said this before. Am I convinced Luke Walton is the guy to lead the Kings to the championship in the next 5 years? No.
I think Luke Walton's gone next summer.
If they don't make the playoffs, here's my thing. I don't want to make this a full King segment. They need to improve the roster in order for us to make a true judgment on Luke Walton, and I'll leave it at that. Cut number two.
Question two.
Oh, that's me.
That's you.
I ask questions. Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady, gracing the Madden NFL 22 cover together. What is the best and worst Madden covers of all time?
You know, the best one is hard for me to come up with. The worst one is Peyton Hillis, right?
Yeah.
Like, I want to know who at EA was like, worked with the NFL, and they're like, gosh, man, who can we get on the cover? Peyton Hillis. Who thought that was a good idea at any point? Looked around and was like, you know what? Of all the guys in the NFL, and we want to market a video game, Peyton Hillis. I don't know. Best? I can't think. Culpepper was Culpepper on Madden? Or was he on NFL 2K?
I don't remember.
I want to say Steve McNair is my favorite. I feel like that one just visually sticks out for me because I think that's the last time I played a Madden game. It was either McNair or Eddie George, but it was the Titans. That was the last time I played a Madden game, so I'm going to go with that.
The correct answer is Madden is terrible, and nobody cares, and it doesn't mean anything, and the Madden curse is stupid, and who cares? Like, that's the correct answer. Madden, I'm a huge sports video game guy. Madden is terrible. They need to bring back NFL 2K because it's a way better video game, and it was a way better video game. But 2K Sports is also terrible, too, so great. Congratulations. If you're on the cover, your face is on a bad game. You're welcome.
I don't think Madden's a bad game. I just suck at it.
Madden's terrible. It's just a cash cow.
They've never evolved the game.
It's just an EA cash cow. Well, they have evolved it. They've evolved it to now Ultimate Teams and stuff like that where you have to pay to win. That's all that's become. It's just become gambling.
Really?
It's become gambling where you can't win real. No, it's seriously. Like, there were lawsuits with FIFA and EA Sports and Madden because of gambling to children, because they would swipe their mom's credit card to buy these packs to hopefully get 99 rated overall Tom Brady, and they never get him, and they spend more money. It's gambling. Loot boxes are gambling.
Question number three.
Look at me, old man, and I love video games.
Question three.
Get off my lawn. It's day two of the U.S. Open. Who will be the $12.5 million richer player come Monday?
You know, there's a part of me that wants to go with the heavy, the favorite entering the tournament was John Rahm. He had a good round one, which makes me feel good, especially after the tournament he had previously played, and he looked great. I feel like John Rahm should definitely be in the conversation, but I'm going to go with Brooks Koepka. I liked how Brooks looked yesterday. He looked very comfortable. I thought he would end up the day as the leader. He is not, but he is right in the thick of things. Give me Brooks.
It needs to be either Brooks or Bryson just so they can talk crap to the other. And drop not so subtle disses to the other. And we need a final pairing on Sunday of them together, or at least in a group together at some point during this entire tournament. You know, there was a clip, an audio clip, I think you guys played it on your show earlier this week, of both Bryson and Brooks talking about what this feud is doing for golf. And they're 100% correct. Like, getting more of this kind of personality and this venom, in a way, into the game of golf, I think is good. Like, golf has always been a gentleman's game. These guys are never going to throw their clubs down and start hockey fighting. But this is good. It's entertaining. And if one of those two wins, it takes golf to a whole new level.
And me and Dave went back and forth on this, because I'm kind of at the same camp as you. Because the rivalry, for lack of a better word, is organic. Like, I don't think they actually like each other. It's not some manufactured drama.
No.
If they actually don't like each
other. A lot of golfers don't like Bryson because of how he's changing or trying to change the game.
Well, that, and he's just kind of a douche.
Yeah.
Which plays a big part in it as
well.
He's
very, very frat boy golfer.
He's a frat boy golfer. He's slow on the course. He makes everybody upset. And you know what I like about Bryson, though? He doesn't care.
Have you watched... He has his own YouTube channel, and then he does just YouTube appearances with other golf YouTubers, mm-hmm. and he just tries to break speed records and just does these dumb challenges around his house. He's like a golfer frat boy.
Dude, Bryson DeChambeau is essentially like a refined version of John Daly. Like, John Daly wishes he could have had Bryson DeChambeau's career. That's how I feel about Bryson. All right, caller 5 right now, 1-800-920-1140. You can win a pair of tickets to see Kiss.
Yay.
On their just-announced End of the Road World Tour. It's about time. They're like in their 90s.
End of the Road.
September 12, 2021 at the Toyota Amphitheater. Caller 5, 1-800-920-1140. We got a pair of tickets for you, and we have to take a break.
They've been off the road for 5 years.
Yeah! That was nice!
Coming up next.
Coming up in halftime, the Kings and KHDK. The marriage continues. The Bucks and Nets are heading for a game 7. The Giants sweep the Diamondbacks, but that's not the real story of that game. We had a big trade happen early this morning in the NBA between the Celtics and the Thunder. We'll talk about that in the NBA playoffs coming up next.
The highest rated morning show on KHDK. The Carmichael Dave Show returns now.
Fact.
Was a good friend of mine.
Not fact. Didn't know Jeremiah. I knew he was a bullfrog. Didn't know him, though. Not a good friend of mine. Carmichael Dave Show, sans Carmichael Dave, standing in line somewhere at Disneyland.
It's not open yet.
The happiest place. Well, it doesn't matter. A lot of people get there at 3 a.m. to stand in line just to make sure they get in.
The earliest I've ever gotten to Disneyland is an hour before they open to stand in line. But in reality, you just go to Downtown Disney and hit up like Starbucks and Jamba, and their stores open early. They have a really good breakfast joint down there, too. It's a good play.
Yeah, or I mean...
Or just, if you have a Magic Morning Pass, you can get in an hour early.
Magic Morning Pass.
But the Magic Morning Passes are actually not... Well, that was abrupt. The Magic Morning Passes are not exactly the greatest either, because a lot of times in Magic Morning... Here's another Disney tip for you. Sometimes you'll get Magic Morning included when you buy a multi-day ticket package. They're not usually that worth it. You might as well just sleep in, and security guards will tell you, because half the rides don't open for Magic Morning anyway. So you're really just getting into Main Street early, but hey, do you.
Cool.
What a tip. Huh?
There you go.
You'll remember that next time you'll go. You'll say,
Should've
I remember.
Let Dave know before he went.
I don't care. I'm helping you.
I appreciate your help.
And I'm helping our listeners. I want him to learn the hard way.
Hey, now. All right, let's
He's not going to go to Magic Morning. Are you
no,
kidding me?
If that sounds way too happy for him.
His Magic Morning.
If it was Miserable Morning, he'd be there.
Magic Morning for him is 11 a.m.
Dude, he'll be at Miserable Morning waiting in line. So shout out to Dave. He's got 3 days at Disneyland. We'll see how that goes for him.
Poor BB.
I'm telling you, he's going to have the worst experience of his life. I can't wait to hear about it on Monday. I really can't. I'm actually excited to hear about how miserable he was at the happiest place on earth. The irony, right?
There are a lot of people who are very miserable at the happiest place.
Oh, gosh. Let's get to halftime, please.
Oh, fine.
You guys suck. That's how my coach used to get me fired up at halftime.
It's halftime. As we get into the second half of the show, here's what we've been looking at so far and what we'll be talking about next. Since 1994, there's been one place that has captured those moments. You know those moments.
Demi with a desperation deep three. He's got it off glass! A miracle at Sacramento's Arco Arena and pandemonium results!
Sports 1140 KHDK is proud to announce our partnership with the Sacramento Kings will continue for years to come, so we can all enjoy even more of those moments.
54 career-high points for DeMarcus Cousins.
We'll get more Halliburton.
The hockey assist goes to Halliburton with one of the sweetest passes we've seen this season.
More Fox.
Backdoor chase down blocked by Fox.
More G-Man.
Oh, what a sweet dump. On their feet again. How many standing O's in one night?
Sports 1140 KHDK is still your proud home of the Sacramento Kings.
Going to the rack. Barnes misses the jam. Tipped in at the buzzer by Buddy Hield.
That's what this is all about.
The marriage continues. There will be no divorce. There will be no assets to split. There will be no custody of the children. KHDK and the Kings coming to a new multi-year agreement yesterday to continue to be the broadcast home of the Sacramento Kings since 1994, the year that the world was graced with Matt George.
I appreciate that the highlights chosen for that production, because of course there's the Bibby game winner, which we're always going to hang on to until the end of time, until a better game winner in the playoffs actually happens, and we love that playoffs shot, of course. But then we go to, like, hey, DeMarcus scored 50 points in a game, remember that? Remember the failure that pretty much was the DeMarcus Cousins era, but he scored 50 points one time, and then Halliburton got a hockey assist, and then Fox blocked a guy.
Like,
it's just those moments,
I'm
a block,
to
a
think.
Hockey assist.
Dave gets the Eeyore crown on a daily basis. However,
like
with
it.
Him being gone,
I like it. It makes me laugh.
I think the new Eeyore crown goes to Matt George.
It's a positive thing. Like, we've had so many great moments.
Buddy,
like,
I've met positive people. I'm not going to put you at the top of that list.
Like, Tyreek hit a half-court shot.
That was a great shot.
It was a great shot. It's also one of the worst seasons in Kings history, but he hit it.
Not as worse as the season before it.
That's a good point. That's improvement. That's what matters. Hey, Bogdan Bogdanovich's game winner didn't make the cut. Remember, he did that against the Lakers in a game that...
Hey, buddy, when I put it together, I only had 60 seconds. Whoa. And kind of had to stretch everything out a little bit.
And you had to make sure to get that hockey assist in there.
I didn't write the promo.
See, the thing, in all seriousness, I love G-Man because G-Man made some of the... or all of these moments that, looking back, in the moment, they were great, but in the grand scheme of things, they're meaningless. But he made them all sound awesome.
Well, that's the greatness of G-Man. And when you did it for... he's done it for 36 seasons, going into season 37.
I'm moving from Eeyore into positive.
You learn how to make trivial moments sound bigger than they are.
Although I will say, this is the first year that I heard a consistently disappointed and frustrated G-Man. Consistently.
Oh, we talked about it all the time after we would play the call after every loss. It was always disappointed G-Man. Like, he's so over it.
It was so
funny. You
could
tell he was so over it. Like, really? I mean, G-Man went from, you know, we talked about it all year, 7 of 8, you know, 8 of 9, whatever. 9-game losing streak. 7 of 8, 8 of 9. Oh, my gosh, the Kings, they're back in it. It's all good. 9-game losing streak.
We got passive-aggressive G-Man this year, and it was amazingly great.
Well, let's go down to the Bay Area because there's a baseball team there that wins lots of ball games.
It's
right
the A's.
Now.
Here's the pitch. Peralta on the ground to the hole. It's short. Over to backhanded Dubon. He kind of stumbles and then shows off his strong arm. He fires to first in time to get Peralta, and the game is over. The Diamondbacks have set an all-time record. They've lost 23 consecutive road games. Never before in the history of Major League Baseball has that happened for any team. But give the Giants credit because they just whipped up on this struggling Diamondbacks team. They sweep a four-game series, and today was a rollover. 10-3, the Giants steamroll the Diamondbacks.
Boy.
But what about the A's?
The A's didn't play yesterday. They're idle. They will play today with coverage starting at 3 on Sports 1140 KHDK against those dastardly Bronx Bombers, the New York Yankees. I get it sucks losing your 23rd straight road game and setting a record, but can you, like, make it a little closer?
Nah, embrace it. Embrace it.
Just go ahead and get the crap kicked out of you 10-3?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, this record could hit 30, and I think it will hit 30 based off of how horrible they blew. What was it, a 5-run lead? Wasn't it 5-0 earlier on in the series? It was game 2 or game 3?
It was, no, I want to say it was like...
Was it like 7-0?
Like 7-0.
Oh, it might have been 7-0.
Then Yastrzemski hits the grand slam,
right,
of course.
Right.
Yeah, that's when you know you just have monumentally bad luck.
Yeah,
that
was your last chance.
It's just meant to be.
That was your last. At this point, go for it. Like, get into 30. Come on.
Giants sweep the Diamondbacks. Giants are just damn good baseball team right now. But again, when you lose 23 straight games, you get to dominate the headlines. That's what the Arizona Diamondbacks are doing. You're saying 30 games. I'd take the under on that. I think they get one in the next few games. It'll be by some miracle. It'll be a 2-0 win somehow, some way. Everything will come together on the road. But I don't think that losing streak reaches 30.
I'm bringing up the Diamondbacks schedule right now. Let's see if we can find the most winnable game for them. Well, they start a series against the Dodgers, so you think they're getting one against your Dodgers?
Yeah, the Dodgers are good for one. Yeah, that would make the most sense, actually.
Oh, wait, well, they're at home.
Oh, is that at home? Okay, oh, then
well,
it
there
doesn't
you go.
Matter.
See, they can't continue it for at least the next two series, so that's a good break for them. Their next road trip is the Padres, and then they have the Cardinals.
They'll get one from the Pods.
Okay, so they'll get one from the
Call
Padres.
Call it now. Call them a shot. They'll get one from the Dads.
Does that make... Like, is that really bad for the Padres? Like, to be the team that they break the streak against? I don't think it's in baseball.
No, it's not. I mean, we're not going to sit back and remember this year as the year the Padres gave up the Diamondbacks' first win on the road after 23 straight road games. That
absolutely
won't be the narrative. But the Padres... I don't want to call them disappointing. It's the middle of June, but I think everyone thought them and the Dodgers were going to be neck and neck right now, and it's the Giants who are running that division.
Just goes to show you can't predict baseball because nobody knows baseball.
Yep, or you can't predict basketball either.
They're going to run out the time. The final here in Game 6, Bucks 104, Brooklyn Nets 89. We'll be back for Game 7 from the Borough on Saturday.
There you have it.
I mean,
the Bucks, even the series last night, 3-3, Game 7 from Barclays. Mañana.
I think we all predicted 7 games for this series, though.
Not getting this in this way,
but I think we all predicted
seven
games.
Yeah, I predicted 7 games, but I thought when Harden went down, we talked about this earlier, and I will stay on this, and I said it. I'm like, the Bucks need to win Game 5. The Nets are bleeding. They're literally bleeding. You need to smell the blood, and you need to go in there, and you need to eat. And when they blew it in Game 5, and now you have Giannis coming in the post game talking about, we're built to win this Game 7. It's like, I don't know about that, because I would have thought you would have been, if you're built to win Game 7 tomorrow, wouldn't you have been built to win Game 5 with James Harden playing 46 minutes on one freaking leg? And you have a double-digit lead in the second half.
But that just speaks to how weird this round has been in both conferences. Because you look at like the news of James Harden and his injury, and then Kyrie going down, but the Nets won the next game.
Right.
And then you look at what happened, like the Clippers losing Kawhi Leonard against the number one seed Jazz on a day where the Jazz basically thought, okay, our door to the conference finals and potentially the NBA finals has just been thrown wide open. And they lost that game and are now a game away from elimination. Like, it's just, that's what I love about playoff basketball. It's just wild to me.
It's wild, and this is obviously the wildest it's ever been with all the injuries. I can't think of a playoffs that has been more wild, more drunk than this year's NBA playoffs. Going back to the Clippers and Jazz. So tonight we have Game 6, Clippers and Jazz from Staples. We also will have a Game 6 with the Hawks and Sixers. Clippers and Hawks can both close tonight. I think the Sixers get tonight. I think we're going back to Philly for Game 7. The Clippers and the Jazz, man, it's just such a toss-up at this point, because I know Kawhi, obviously, being hurt is going to dominate the headlines for obvious reasons, but Mitchell's ankle is still a little gimpy, and we really don't talk enough about Mike Conley not playing. Mike Conley was an all-star this year. Mike Conley's been one of the most solid point guards over the last 10 seasons. When your starting backcourt is got one gimpy, your superstar, and the other one not playing, that matters, and I don't think we're talking about that enough.
Yeah, I agree, but that's also the state of these playoffs. Like, the team who stays the healthiest is, and that, full credit to the Phoenix Suns. Like, yeah. Unfortunately, they just lost CP3 because of protocol, but that's a lot better than some of the injuries that we've seen. But
I have a feeling we're going to see CP3 out of protocol by game one.
Probably.
Because he's vaccinated and all the way. I know it's different protocol if you're vaccinated.
Yeah.
I think we'll see CP3 out of there. So I think the Suns they're going to dodge that.
I think you're right. I do. I truly do think you're right. But I mean, now we're looking back at this, the 72 games and a condensed season, and it was good for the regular season, for revenue for the league, and yada, yada, yada. But now players are, and the league in a way is kind of paying the price for it, although I doubt it has affected ratings at all or will continue to affect ratings. But like, you talk about the asterisk last year for a bubble championship.
Which I don't buy.
I don't either. I hate asterisks. But will we also be talking about an asterisk depending upon
who?
If the Nets were eliminated, they were never at full strength, and this Nets team would have steamrolled everybody at full strength. Or if the Jazz had Mike Conley, or if the Philadelphia 76ers were completely, like, I just,
It's already out there. I've already seen people talking about the 2021. That's the real asterisk season with the obviously the start of the season being way too fast after the bubble ended last year. I get all that. The soft tissue injuries being at an all-time high this year. The injuries we're seeing in the playoffs. You had LeBron go off about that on social media the other day. There's something to all of that, but all 30 teams played under the same rules. So there is no asterisk. When all 30 teams are doing the same thing, there is none. It's going to be a different title, sure. Like, you have to look at it from that perspective. It's going to be different because of the rash of injuries, but you know what? I can't fault a team like Phoenix. Let's say they win the title and they're healthy. Why would we fault them for staying healthy? It's not their fault the other teams were unhealthy.
Right.
That's not on Phoenix. That's not on any team that wins the title this year. So I think that talk is dumb. I hate it. It needs to go away. I think it's just more social media fodder than anything else. But it's a really stupid conversation.
I agree. I 100% agree, but it's going to exist no matter what. It just always does. And I wonder if the conversation of, hey, the Lakers played a couple extra games because of the play-in tournament, did that have an impact on their ability to stay healthy, blah, 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 blah. I wonder if the league...
In L.A., that will for sure be the name.
Right, and I'm not just talking about fans. I'm talking about the league as a whole, like, because I think the play-in tournament absolutely needs to stick around. I think it was great, and the pros far outweigh the cons.
The play-in tournament was great because you had teams like the Lakers and the Warriors in it. That's what made it awesome. And by the way, the play-in will stick. The play-in had amazing ratings. The NBA ain't letting that go anytime soon. Sorry.
Yeah.
Players and the union can complain all you want. The play-in game ain't going anywhere anytime soon. Matt, I said this before, only the NBA in the middle of their playoffs can consistently step on the fact that their playoffs are going on with off-court news.
Big time.
Early this morning, I want to say it dropped like right when we started the show around 6:05, Adrian Wojnarowski from ESPN let us in on a pretty significant trade. The Boston Celtics sending their first round pick this year, I believe that's number 16 overall, along with Kemba Walker, who they've been wanting to get off his money now for a while, and a second round pick to OKC. So OKC gets another first round pick, and they give up a second round pick, and Al Horford will be going back to Boston. So many different layers to this. Let's start with the Celtics first. They signed Kemba not this past offseason, but the one before it. The guy they brought in from Charlotte to take over for Kyrie Irving. I thought in his first year, while healthy, was a great fit there. Last year showed, though, man, I think his best days are behind him with those knee injuries. And I think the Celtics knew that, and the Celtics were desperate to get off his money to the point where they attached their first-round pick to him. And now you bring a guy in Al Horford, who was the anchor of your defense for years, clearly has lost a step, but it saves them money. It's a veteran presence in the middle. Do you like this trade for Boston?
Not really. I mean, I don't hate it. I don't like it. To me, it's a non-needle-moving trade. And I look at the addition of Al Horford. I understand why. Like, we talked about this earlier. They were never really able to replace Al Horford, but he's years older at this point. I don't know how great he's going to be, or if he's going to be just a plug back in and have the same kind of production, especially defensively, from him, although I understand the move they made. I know it also, in the long run, opens up some cap space for them, which will give them some wiggle room to really make some moves for Brad Stevens maybe a year or two down the road. Mm-hmm. But do I think the Celtics got better? Maybe marginally.
Right.
And then I look at Oklahoma City. Oklahoma City got another first-round draft pick. Everything is just up in the air with them. You can't really grade any trade that OKC makes because it's going to take years for them to really cash in on it. But I am very interested to see what OKC can turn Kemba into, assuming that they are moving on from
him. Yeah, Adrian Wojnarowski also tweeted out, the assumption is they're going to be working with Kemba Walker, a la the same way they worked with Chris Paul on getting him out of Oklahoma City. I guess my question is, if Boston had to put a first-round pick on him to get off of him, does OKC kind of have to do the same thing? I mean, they got 55,000 first-round picks.
Potentially. And that might have been the play, was knowing that they're going to have to give up a future first to move on from him, but they acquired another first in this year's draft that Presti might want to do something with. So that might have been the play after all. They're using these big names and swapping these big names, but in reality, this was a early return draft pick swap for right. Presti. And it also depends on where Kemba Walker lands and how much cap space they have and what they have to send back in return. Because with the contract that Kemba has, OKC is in a position to where they can afford to absorb salary.
Oh, yeah.
But they don't just want to absorb a dead name that's going to sit on their bench and watch Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and the rookie squad.
Unless that
out.
Dead name comes with some more first-round picks for Presti.
Exactly. So typically, if you're moving a player like Kemba and trying to get equal money back and just a player-for-player swap, you're absorbing another player like Kemba who hasn't lived up to his contract.
And just an idea of what Kemba has left on his deal. 2 years, one of those is a player option that he is for sure going to exercise.
You
also, there was a trade kicker involved with this, so he's going to get a little more money. Next year, he's on the books at 31 years old for $36
million. Woo!
And then his player option at 32, again, remember, knees, not the best, in 2022, 2023, $37.6 million. Boy, that's a lot of money. There's no way they're moving off of that contract without attaching picks to it.
He's never going to be worth that money again. And that's like that's the most obvious statement to say here. But I do think even with his knees, Kemba Walker can be valuable for a team. I don't know if it's as a starting point. Like, he's never going to live up to that contract. So if you're looking at Kemba through the scale of his contract, which might be impossible to do otherwise, he's never going to live up to it, and it's going to be hard for a team in that sense. But if you're looking at Kemba as, yes, he's a guy who's paid a lot of money and you're just going to have to deal with it, but he can maybe come in off the bench and provide 15 to 20 solid scoring backup point guard minutes a night, or maybe he's a temporary starting point guard that can mentor a young point guard who's coming in, maybe a rookie from this year's class. I think Kemba has value, and I think there are teams that could potentially use Kemba, and just because of his I know his injury issues and knee issues, especially for an explosive guard like Kemba, are significant.
Right.
But I look at and it's a different circumstance, but I look at what like Derrick Rose did in Detroit and now the season that he had in New York. In the right situation, Kemba can be valuable. And I hope he lands somewhere where he can provide something. Assuming he can stay healthy, which is a big assumption.
No, it's a huge assumption. I don't know how healthy he can stay. And I'm just going to see, again, what kind of assets Presti's going to have to attach to Kemba, given that, like you said, he could start, but ideally probably a backup at this point in his career. I don't know. I look at a team like Miami that might, you know, look at it and be like, okay. But there's also going to be teams out there that really need to restock the asset cupboard, and that's where I'd be looking to see where
right.
he gets shipped to. I wouldn't exactly look for OKC to ship him somewhere that's a great fit for him.
Right.
OKC is definitely going to be poking around and see, all right, who needs to restock the cupboard and who is willing to take on his contract to get some picks and get some assets back.
And to that point, though, I think that Kemba can be a decent cherry on top. Like, the money aside, if you get an asset for acquiring Kemba and then can find a way to get decent minutes from him for 15, 20 minutes a night and get him. If you can get 42 games out of him or 41 games out of him in a normal season, to me, as long as he's somewhat productive, that might be a win for a team
for
in
sure.
addition to the draft pick from the 916. Buddy Bagley and top 10 protected first next year from the Kings for Kemba and a first rounder this year. Who says no? The Kings.
Me.
Freaking Kings.
Me?
I would also say no. I mean, you have De'Aaron Fox here. That's an obvious. You have Tyrese Haliburton. That's an obvious. I would 100% rather DeLon Wright than Kemba Walker. And I love Kemba. Like, I really like Kemba.
The money at the end of the day, and I don't think the picks would be worth it for Monty McNair. I don't think that's a thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sorry. It's not a thing.
I mean, look, the best they could get was 16 in the deal.
Yeah,
16,
it's not.
Yeah.
Not going to be a thing.
You're not getting a top 10.
I'll tell you what is a thing, though. Caller 5 right now, 1-800-920-1140. If you want to check out KISS. Yes, that KISS, Gene Simmons, the old guys. They're doing an old guy tour that's called the End of the Road World Tour. Coming to Toyota Amphitheater September 12th. You want a pair of tickets, we got you. Right now, 1-800-920-1140, caller number 5. We are going to take a break.
Do they rock out while leaning on walkers?
You think?
Yeah! That was nice!
Coming up next.
From Del Campo High School to Sacramento State to the San Francisco Giants, Sammy Long. Join Doug and Jason yesterday. It was a really fun interview. We're going to replay that for you coming up at 8:05 right here on the Carmichael Dave Show.